Father, we just thank you for this word. Thank you that you're always with us, and thank you that you are where we are gathered together in your name. You're right here. And that with two or three of us agree is touching anything, that it shall be done of my Father, which is in heaven. And we just give you great praise and honor and thanksgiving for opening your word to us. We know that all of these things shall come to pass because you promised them. And we just thank you, Lord God, that you, as you open your word to us, that we are drawn closer and closer daily through our soul into the things which our spirit already is known. Our spirit already says amen. Our soul says, oh me. But our spirit says amen. And our soul gets all tied up and bent out of shape because the word is going to reprove me. Chastisement is for the soul. Chastisement is for the flesh. And we just rejoice in it. It's not for the spirit, but it certainly must be for the flesh. And we thank you for it, and we ask you to bring it on. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen? Amen. Bring it on. 2 Timothy, right after 1 Timothy. Right after 2 Thessalonians. Right after 1 Thessalonians. Right before Titus. Right before... You got it? Okay. It's right there in the middle of all the little bitty books. You! It says you. Man, it's important right there. Listen up. You, that ought to get your attention, shouldn't it? Amen. You, hey, you. You, therefore, Timothy. My son, be strong. Of course, it's not just Timothy, it's you. If it's in this book, it's just it's not just Timothy, it's you. Amen. Put your name in there. My son, my daughter. You, therefore, be strong in the grace. So that's your strength. Amen. Hallelujah. Be strong in grace. You have no strength in anything else. Be strong in grace. You know how you can be strong in grace? Believe. Just believe. You already believed. Didn't you already believe? Huh? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. You there? Find it? I was going to say 2. Whose Bible is that? I can't see that. It's too small. Two. Yeah, go. No, okay, go to the next. Second epistle. Second epistle. I thought it said first. Two. Second Timothy 2. Chapter 2. Hallelujah. No? You, therefore. We're going to get on the same page here. You're still in 1 Timothy. You're still in 1st. After the first.
See, there is a first.
First epistle. Because it's 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. Thou therefore.
Thank you.
Certainly. Not a problem. Okay, let's look. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Be strong in the grace. How are you going to be strong in the grace? Believe. Can you be strong in any other way? Do you have any other strength? Do you have any strength? How can you be strong in the grace? I'm going to be strong in the grace. Muscle up in the grace. How do you muscle up in the grace? Just believe. Simply believe. You can only believe. That's all you do. You just believe. You believe in the face of persecution. You believe in the face of death. Certain destruction. Be strong in the grace. You ever been in the face of certain destruction? Financially? All the time? A lot? Yeah, amen. Him too. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah, praise God. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to be strong. So he's just saying believe. He's telling you to believe. and the things that you have heard of me. So he's telling you, I can't get off of that. Be strong in the grace. It's something that you, he's exhorting you to do. Be strong in the grace. All he's saying is, when trouble is coming, believe the gospel. Don't believe the trouble. Don't agree with the trouble. Don't look at the trouble and say, oh my God, trouble is here. God, you're gone, I guess. No. Be strong in the grace. You are living in the grace. The grace of God is constantly surrounding you. No matter what hell you're in, no matter what bills can't be paid, no matter what bills are owed, no matter how many 400,000s are owed, you are to be strong in the grace. Because if you were to be strong in your own strength, even if you were a multi-billionaire, that strength is nothing. It dies with your body. It dies with your bones. Your strength is nothing. It's like a vapor. It's like that accident I saw when I was driving here. And in the lane next to me, there was the crowded traffic. In the lane next to me, here's a guy, and boom. I was driving along talking to somebody on the phone. And right next to me, and boom. You know, some guy rear-ended some guy on LBJ. And, you know, you usually try to stop, right? Well, you got cars in front. You can't stop, you know. The only people are going to stop is the people get stopped behind him.
And one little girl, she's critical, never will be the same. And the other one is, no, one got killed, and the other one is not the
matter. Yeah, exactly. Just like that boom, you know, now nobody got killed there, but this person got killed. You don't know what is going to happen. You could die. So if you've got your millions and your billions, you're going to die, and your millions and billions are nothing. So that's all right. So the point here is that your strength, your grace, your strength is nothing. Your strength cannot last. Your strength is a vapor. It's just can go away in a second. But I tell you, the grace of God, even when you are at your end, and when you're at your very bottom, the grace of God is at its fullness. The grace of God never runs out, never wears out, never gets to the bottom of the tank. It's never like your gas gauge. Oh, gosh, almost on empty. Never, ever, ever. The grace of God is never empty. The grace of God is a constant flood and flow toward you, for you, through you. Do you hear me? Listen. It's a constant flow for you, through you, in you. This is the grace of God. Because it's been opened to you. It's been given to you. Because Jesus Christ has opened the floodgate of heaven. He's opened the floodgate of heaven. Well, it just doesn't look like it. Well, quit looking, for goodness sake. You're not looking in the right thing. You need to look in this. You look in this book, and you see the grace of God is constantly flowing. You also see there's a lot of suffering. Amen. You see there's a lot of suffering in a man of God or in a woman of God. Because in this world you shall have suffering. But the fact is that you, as a creature of God, a new creation, old things passed away, all things have become new. It's God is flowing in and through you. You are an eternal being now. You have passed from death in this life, death, certain death, ultimate death. You've passed from death unto life. You are now in life. You're living in life, everlasting. Now, Zoe life, continuous, full, abundant life. That's how you live. That's what you have. That's what you're living in. Do you understand? Do you hear? Are you doing that? Are you believing that? Do you believe what God said? Or are you still struggling to get, you know, my gosh, I may not make it tomorrow. Yeah, our minds do that. Our minds go back to that. They're, you know, it's like a dog going back to his vomit. Isn't that awful? Bring every thought captive to Jesus Christ, to this truth. Amen. If you bring every thought captive to the Word of God, Hallelujah. Here comes a thought. Oh, my gosh, it's a bad one. Hallelujah. Lord God, thank you. Thank you that you cannot be defeated. Mm-hmm. What? If it's disagreeing with this, it doesn't matter which one it is. I don't believe that. No matter if it's coming from my head or outside. If it's not a thought of rejoicing, it's from the devil. Yep. Ooh, awesome. Command your flesh. That's exactly it. See, here comes your flesh. You know, oh my gosh! You know, I'm scaring myself. Anybody scare yourself by what you talk about? Huh? Do you scare yourself? Yes, I do. Oh my gosh, I'm scary. I just get scary thoughts. You know, maybe I got a thing in my flesh, a bump. And dear me, I've got a bump. Huh? Well, let me just preach. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's my turn to talk. Hallelujah. Because I get paid to talk. Mm-hmm. Amen. Awesome. Yeah, right. That's it. Perfect. So you lost your job because you lied, and you gained your job because you told the truth. That's awesome. But you hear this now? That's chastisement. That's teaching. That wasn't punishment. You lose your job. See, people think that's punishment. This is a good teaching we're putting on here. That's it. Yeah, you see, we're putting a teaching on here. Yes, is that you're talking about that, and what that is chastisement. I learned that when I lie, I fail. But when I speak truth, God blesses. That's right. You praise the Lord. That's God. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Are we going here? Now here. So again, we're still on verse 1. Is the grace of God. You're believing in the grace of God. The grace of God is big. It's you. You got to know the grace of God is you. You know, I'm dying today. I'm dying completely. Everything is falling apart. Everything is falling apart. It's worse that now than it was 2 days ago. But the grace of God is still at its fullness. The grace of God, if I die, what happens to me? If I die, what happens to me? I can go to Jesus. Amen. God is good. God is good. God is good all the time, and everything is perfect. Remember, you call yourself, Dan. To call yourself is a good message there. You need to call yourself. Leave yourself a message. Yeah. Amen. That's good. Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay, now let's keep going here. Maybe we'll make it to verse 2. All right, ready? So, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I guess you can. You know, because it's not a work. You know, it's not a work. Did you know it's not a work to be strong in the grace? It's not approval. There's not an approval. This is not an approval issue. This is a participation in the grace. This is taking advantage of the grace of God. This is taking advantage of the provision that's already been made. Amen? Again, see, faith for salvation is not a work. See, the grace only people, the Presbyterians or the election people, say that you can't get saved except by God because that would be a good work. No, it's not a good work. That's just like grabbing a lifesaver. Grabbing a lifesaver, is that a good work? If you're going down, if somebody throws you a lifeline, is grabbing that lifeline something you did to deserve getting that lifeline? No, that's stupid. That's not something good you did. You just saw there was a lifeline. You know, there's some other guy who thinks he's not going down. You know, he didn't grab the, I don't need that one. I'd rather have a pink one. Yeah, I'd rather have a purple lifeline. You're stupid. You're going down. You're dying. You know, you think you're not dying. You don't even know you're dying. This guy knows he's dying, you know. Amen? So he grabs anything. He'd grab a brick, you know, grab anything. Maybe the brick will float. Yeah, he'd grab anything that's out there. You know, he wants to live. He's looking for life. So that's not a good work to grab the lifeline. It's not a good work to receive Jesus' salvation. That's not a work. And neither is it a work to receive the grace of God. It's not a good work. You just receive it. You just say, you're not deserving of it. You just say, there it is. Oh, I got it. I'm getting a hold of it. And how do you do that? You just agree that God is good and that God has forgiven you of all your sins. And you want Him to show you more sins. I want Him to show me all my sins. You know why? Because my sins are the ones that are weighing me down. I'm still out here in the ocean, and my sins are the things that, it's like bricks tied to my feet. I'm grabbing a hold of the lifeline, and my sins are like bricks and concrete tied to my feet, pulling me down. Amen? So I'm trying to kick those things off. I'm trying to kick those bricks off. All those sins. I want God to show them to me. I want a shark to come up and bite them off my feet. Well, I'd rather have a shark come up. Here, would you bite this rope? Bite this concrete? Get it off of me. You know, so in other words, here comes trouble, but it's not troublesome. Well, you understand what I'm saying. Is that I want something to come and just get the sin off of me. The sin that does so easily weigh me down. That is, I want to be chastised. I want to be a son, a daughter, a child who's the beloved of the Father. And He wants to deliver me from drugs, deliver me from poverty, deliver me from my own stupidness, my own arrogance. Amen? He wants to deliver me from my own arrogance. I'm arrogant. I think I can get by with murder and still live. That's stupid. That's stupid. I think I should be able to get, you know what I mean by murder. I don't mean by killing people. I just get away with, you know, just lasciviousness and you know, bad things. License, you know, just sinning everywhere, you know, getting drunk, you know, overeating. Smoking, overeating, being promiscuous. Yeah, you know, I'd rather get away with all this kind of stuff, you know, and still. But I don't know, it's stupid. I'm killing myself. I'm killing myself and I'm killing others. Amen? I'm killing myself and I'm killing others by doing all this stuff. And I just don't understand it because I'm stupid. But God is teaching me. He's teaching me to release all of that foolishness. It's destructive. It'll destroy me. I'm not built for it. I'm built for one woman. Amen. I'm built for certain things. You know, a plant has certain environments that plant is good in. And other environments, if you put all kinds of junk in that environment, that plant will do what? Die. Amen. You are designed for a certain environment. The problem is, you got two legs. And you can go walking off. You're not like a plant. You can go walking off into some new environment with five women or five men or drugs and stuff, and you can just go off in your own little environment and just kill yourself. That's what we do because we don't believe God. We don't believe God is good because the enemy has come in and lied to us and said, did God say that if you eat of that tree, you will die? You will not die. The guy lied. If you eat of that tree, you will die. If you go check everything else, check everything out, taste of everything, you'll die. Listen to me. We don't believe because we believe a lie. We want to believe we like God. We want to believe we're like God. We want to be God. You know what? You don't need to be God. God loves you more than you do. You don't even know how to love yourself. You're ignorant. You don't know how to love yourself. I am. Boy, am I ignorant. I don't know how to love myself. I'll do anything and everything pretending I'm loving myself. Be strong in the grace. Be strong in the grace. And the things that you have heard of me, verse 2, among many witnesses, the same you commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So he's teaching this to Timothy. So it's either one of two things, that you commit the things that you've learned to others who will be faithful with them. That is, you speak. You speak truth. Don't be afraid to speak truth to your neighbor, to your brother and sister in the Lord, so that they will be able to share these things. And the things that you have heard of me, Paul said, of among many witnesses, everybody's been here, you know, it's not a secret. Those things, you give them, teach them to those who will be faithful to teach others also. You therefore, let's back up with that. So the command there for Timothy, for a pastor, is to teach other men. Amen. It's not just to preach and get people saved. It's to teach and disciple. Amen. We need disciples. Jesus said, disciple all nations. Teach all nations. What he meant was, what he was saying there, that Greek word is didasko, which is teach or disciple all nations. Bring them, make them disciples. So you make them disciples. That is, they are trainees. Those who would be raised up. Not just teach, just a teaching. Okay, come and sit down. We're going to have a teaching. Okay, everybody get up, go to lunch. It's not just a teaching. It's continuous teaching. It's teaching unto maturity. Amen? You want to be taught to maturity. You are the faithful men, the faithful women. You are the ones. Here you are on Wednesday night. Yeah, let's count them. How many are here? Oh, well, y'all are the faithful. Well, I'm not very faithful. You're here. Glory to God. Where's everybody else? Pastor Jim's not here. Boy, you're double faithful. You guys are double faithful. Not only just a few, but the here, and you know the big guns aren't here. You know, I mean you're here. You're here. Praise God. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. And because you're here, doesn't mean that I'm great. Because you're here means that you're going to hear from God. If you want to hear from God, if you show up to hear from God, guess what? You could have a donkey up here. You would hear from God. Amen? The same commit you to faithful men. So that's the command to me, is to commit this to y'all. Are y'all faithful? You showed up. This is good ground as far as I'm concerned. These are faithful men. People who are going through hell, who will come, that's double. People who are going through hell, you know, in this life, in this flesh, and know that this is their hope, not working an extra job on Wednesday night. Is it fine to work an extra job? Fine if you've got one. That's okay. Not a big deal. Not a problem. But the fact is that, you know, you could be making a phone call, doing something, but you decided to come here. Praise the Lord. I mean, if you're coming here to encourage me, stay home. You know, maybe next week we won't have anybody. But if you're coming here to hear God, that's the point. Amen? Now, it's easier for me. If nobody shows up 2 or 3 weeks, I'll just stay home. There's no point. You know, I mean, what I'm saying is that obviously if nobody shows up for several weeks, there's no point in me being here. But the fact is that if somebody shows up, somebody wants a word from God. Right? So that's why I'm here. Somebody, I mean, we had put the hang out the shingle and said, we'll be here. Well, you know, I better be here. You know, I don't not come when there's, you know, if there's less than five, we won't come. No, I didn't say that. You know, if there's less than two, no. That's right. You got to have a church, too. The one teaching and the one sitting. There you go. Two make a church. If we don't have two, then I'll go home. All right. Now, but what I'm saying is committing to faithful men. Faithful men aren't good people. Amen? Faithful men, faithful women, they're not good people. They're those who desire to know the Lord. Those who desire to be discipled. That's faithful people. Amen? Those are the faithful people. Be encouraged. You're faithful. Did you know that? You're going to be thankful? Hallelujah. There you go. Faithful. All right. Who shall be able to teach? Be able to teach. Be able to teach. You know, did you know y'all are able to teach others? Did you know you can teach someone by what you've learned? That's what you're doing. You do that every time you're with these folks that you're, oh, but God is good. Grumble, grumble, grumble. Well, you know God is good. All of a sudden you taught that person. They may hate you for it. But you taught them the truth. A lot of people hate truth, you know? Praise God. Amen. Just talk. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Right now, where you are. Jesus loves her right where she is. Jesus loves the Jews. Did you tell her Jesus is a Jew?
I did.
Did you tell her?
No.
And say, Jesus is a Jew. Amen. That's okay. Tell her he's a Jew. She should acknowledge every Jew. That's right. Jesus is a Jew. Yeah. Listen here, Jewish lady. So you should be able to teach others also. Verse 3, you therefore, endure hardness. Endure it. Here comes hardness. Endure it. Here comes hardness. Give in. Buckle under. Give up. I didn't say that. He said, you therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You're in the army now. No man that goes to war entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Oh boy. No man that in wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life. You know what that is? To entangle yourself with the affairs of this life? It's your head. First, it's your head. It's to believe, is to let the things of this life entangle, would be like a rope that got between your feet and caused you to trip and fall and you can't move. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life. So in other words, do not let the affairs of this life tangle you. Remember Mark chapter 4, where the word is sown, and some is sown among thorns, and the cares of this life choke the word. The cares of this life. There's many cares in this life. And in our mind, we're reaching out to try to save something that's going down, something that we hold dear, because it's part of my existence in this world. What if you were to lose everything? I lost everything. Went to jail. Lost everything. No man that goes to war entangles himself. No woman that goes to war entangles herself with the affairs of this life. In other words, don't get so entangled in the affairs of this life. That is, don't let them eat you alive. The affairs of this life will eat you alive. They will come up and eat your lunch. Swallow it whole. Amen? They'll take your attention. They'll take your emotions. And they'll wind you up and spit you out. God said rejoice. Always. In everything. In every circumstance. Rejoice. In everything give thanks. On Thanksgiving Day give thanks. No, he didn't say that. He said in everything give thanks. Thanksgiving Day is just for the heathen. You know, acknowledge your God. Acknowledge God. Turkey Day. Not Turkey Day. Happy Holiday. Not a happy holiday. Give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Give thanks to God. That's the reason George Washington said we had Thanksgiving. That's the reason Abraham Lincoln said we had Thanksgiving. That's the reason in 1941, when they made it a national holiday, they said, give thanks to God. Amen. So somebody says Turkey Day, you say, shut up. Give thanks to God, turkey. Amen. No man that goes to war entangles himself with the affairs of this life. You're in war. You're at war. That he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Are you going to please God by your works? It does not talk about that he may, you're pleasing to God because of your faith. That is that you're, that you believed. See, another thing about entangling yourself with the affairs of this life is that they're valuable. You're looking at them as if they're valuable for eternity. They're not. The affairs of this life are not valuable for eternity. The affairs of this life are a distraction from the affairs of the kingdom. You will entangle yourself with the works, with the affairs of the kingdom, rather than this life. Entangle yourself with the affairs of the kingdom, that you may please him. Because who has chosen you to be a soldier? And if a man also, for another example, if a man strives for the masteries in a physical contest, like in the Olympics, that's what he's talking about, the masteries of a, strives for to receive the prize. You know, Paul talks about in other places, if a man runs a race, as if a runner, like in the Olympic games of the day, either that day or this day. Yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. Well, just look at baseball. You know, if you pump yourself full of drugs, so you can perform better, you're not legal. You're not lawful. You're unlawful. You get disqualified. You're disqualified if you're not striving lawfully, running with patience. If you're griping and complaining. And if a man also strive for the masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman, the gardener that labors, must be first partaker of the fruits. You must be a first, you nobody else is going to get fruit before you do. You got to get some of the fruit first. You got to see the fruit. A lot of preachers out there, a lot of people out there trying to give people fruit they don't even have. Amen? Fruit is produced for others, but you are the first partaker of fruit. Amen? Don't expect that you're going to be some big shot somewhere before you hear from God and have a relationship with Him yourself. Amen? It doesn't mean you're perfect, but what it does mean is that you know you're the beloved of God and nobody can talk you out of it. Nobody can steal that from you. You're the beloved of God. Amen? You agree with that? You believe that? That's true. This is who I am. This is what I am. I'm nothing more than the beloved of the Lord. That's all I am. Do I sin? Yeah, all the time. I fall into unbelief, but I don't believe my unbelief. I believe it for a minute, but I get rid of it. Amen? I want to get rid of it. I don't want to live with it because I know it's foolish. It'll kill me. It'll kill others. It'll kill their faith. I mean, they're responsible for their own faith, but if they're a baby, you know, I'm leading them astray. I'm leading them as if this is okay. I'm telling somebody this is okay. One of my disciples. What if you have disciples? Do you know most of you have disciples that you don't even know about? People who look at you. Now, is it? It's just that they do. Are you God? Of course not. You must always tell them, I'm not God. Take off your God clothes. Strip. Make sure they know you're not God. But the fact is also that people will look at you. And you're causing your brother or sister to stumble by your own walking in the flesh. God said, don't do it. Don't walk in the flesh. Don't let your flesh rule you. Amen? You're the beloved of God. Don't let your flesh rule. Don't let your flesh rule. Are you the forgiven of God? Yes. But don't let your flesh rule because you'll cause somebody else to stumble. Well, they ought to just... Well, yeah, sure they should. But they don't. So the key is here is to cause someone to be built up, to be strengthened because you love them. Is it required for salvation? No. Is it required for sanctification? Yes. Give up your sin. Give up your nice sin that you hide so well and enjoy so much. Because somebody will be with you one day, and you'll lead them astray. It's better to have a millstone hung around your neck and you cast into the sea than to let one of these little ones be offended. Because they're babies. We're raising babies. Young believers. Amen? So, Father, keep me from all sin. Keep me from myself. Keep me from indulging my flesh. Because I'm a lover. I'm a lover like Jesus is. I love these, every one of these little ones. I love them. And that's not just for pastors. That's for every believer who is mature. Remember when Jesus said, I talk to you young men, I talk to you children, I talk to you fathers. Well, it's also talking about any mature. You have mothers in the Lord. Remember? He said, in that day, you know, you will, or that you've given everything up for the gospel, and you will see, receive now in this life mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers. You have mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers who look to you, not just to the pastor, not just to the elder, not just to the bishop. They look to you because you're the one they know. You're the one that brought them in, so they look to you. So you're getting rid of all your sins because you're a lover. Because you love those who you brought into the kingdom. You love those who... Amen? So your sins, again, do not rule you. Your sins, in fact, you're letting them go. You, Father, just thank you that I'm cutting off all these sins, this concrete that's trying to drown me, pull me down, and pull down everybody who's hanging on to me. The husbandman that labors must first be partakers of the fruit. Verse 7, consider what I say. Listen up! And the Lord give you understanding in all things. Consider, listen, think about what I'm saying. That is, meditate on what I'm saying. Take it and meditate, chew on it. Chew on what I'm saying. Listen to it, chew on it. And the Lord will give you understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. People call me an evildoer. I suffer trouble even unto being bound. But the Word of God is not bound. Hey, are you in trouble? Have you been in trouble? Are you close to trouble? The Word of God is not bound. The Word of God is not bound. The Word of God is not bound. You've got the Word of God. Even though you're in prison, even though Paul was in prison, the Word of God is not bound. The Word of God is not bound. If you're in prison, the Word of God doesn't just bounce around your little prison. What does God say about His Word? The Word that I speak that goes forth out of my mouth will not return void, but it will accomplish the purpose for which I sent it. In other words, when the Word of God, Joshua 1:8, well, we get back to that every time because that Scripture speaks out of every one of these New Testament verses that talks about the Word of God. It says, this word of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. In other words, it's always in your mouth. This word of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. We do not live, Jesus said, we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that's constantly proceeding out of the mouth of God. And Joshua, again, God told Joshua, says, this word of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. In other words, it'll always be in your mouth. You'll always have the word in your mouth. But you shall meditate therein day and night. Keep speaking it. Muttering. It's talking about muttering. Muttering. Jesus, 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 Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That is, all of my sins are forgiven. He's called me righteous. Therefore, all of my sins are forgiven. I thank you, Lord God, that I walk free from sin. Sin shall no longer have dominion over me. Romans chapter 6. Sin shall no longer have dominion. I'm just muttering. I'm just muttering. Talking under my breath. Muttering. Romans chapter 6. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Amen? Sin does not have dominion over you. Well, it seems like it's got dominion over it. It's taking me down. No. Jesus died for that. He crucified that. Sin in the flesh is crucified. I've got sin in my flesh. Well, no, that's crucified. You're a new man. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. No, you quit talking about how your sins are. Now, is it true that they are? Is it outwardly true that they are there and you committed them? Yes. Confess them. Confess them. Get rid of them. That's right. Don't confess them to people. Confess them to God. Confess your sins to God. Don't confess your sins to people unless you did it to them. If you did it to that person, you know, you offended them. Yeah, go confess to them. I was evil and wrong. But don't confess your sins to people, other people, pastors. You don't need to confess your sins to the pastor. Huh? Yeah, if they're evil to me, fine. If they're evil to me, yes. Because I deserve death. But just amongst the brothers and sisters, God says, confess your sins one to another, your faults one to another. Too bad. You're free. You just forgive them. Forgive them for not hearing you. Hey, you're free. He says, if somebody has something against you, you want to go and offer your gift at the altar? And says, somebody, you, oh my gosh, somebody, they hate me. So you go to them, try to make it right. If they won't hear you, if he receives you, you've gained your brother. If not, forgive them anyway, and then go back and offer your gift. Lord bless you. Bye-bye. Lord bless you. Well, forget that. Who cares? Whether they're in your life or out of your life. Quit trying to get people out of your life. It's okay. Well, maybe, I mean, if you want to forget, they don't want to forgive you, they probably want to stay out of your life. But it doesn't make any difference. You can't just force. I mean, you know, love, Jesus is not going to do that. Jesus is not going to say, good, now I forgive you, but don't ever show up again. No, Jesus doesn't want that, does he? Well, Jesus don't want that for me? Good. I'm glad I forgive you now. Go away forever. No, never. That's what I mean. Yeah, bless you, go away out of my life. Jesus doesn't do that, does he? You are like Jesus. Well, you're working. He's working on you. He's working on you. So that's what you agree with, don't you? I'm like Jesus. I agree that I'm like Jesus daily. I believe that. I believe that he's in me to will and to do of his good pleasure. His good pleasure is to love that idiot all the time, that evil person. Amen? Father, I confess anger to you. In Jesus' name, I do not have anger. Anger does not have any part in me. And here it comes tomorrow. And we confess it again. talk ye in it. The way to walk in it is to talk in it. That's right. That's exactly it. Exactly it. That's exactly it. Here comes the devil, going to steal my money. Get out in Jesus' name. I have all things. The Spirit of the living God reigns in me. He supplies all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He paid all of my debts. All of my debts are forgiven. Amen? All of my debts are forgiven. All the debts are paid. Jesus paid all of my debts. Father, I thank you that Jesus paid all of my debts. Well, they don't look like they're paid. Well, why are you talking against God's word? You know, you're just talking against God's word. Making an excuse for flesh. Stop it. Stop making an excuse for flesh. But, quiet. Give thanks to God. He will give you wisdom on how to take care of the outward, or He will take care of it on His own. Amen? Consider what I say. Listen! He's standing right here. 7. Consider what I say. Think about it. Maintain it. Rest in it. Talk about it. Say it. Consider what I say. Keep it always in front of you. It's like I said, don't let this word depart out of your mouth. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. They look at me like an evildoer. They treat me like an evildoer when I'm preaching this good news. Even unto bondage, even unto being in jail. I mean, it's pretty bad. But the Word of God is not bound. So when you pray, it doesn't bounce off the wall. It doesn't bounce off the ceiling. My prayers feel like they're bouncing off the ceiling. Well, you're wrong. The Word of God is not bound. Are you agreeing with God's Word? Praise God. Bound means it's where it can't move. The Word of God is not bound where it can't move. The Word of God always gets out. The Word of God always goes and does what it's supposed to do, what it's sent for. Jesus came and did what He was sent for. He's the Word, right? Amen. The Word became and dwelt among us. Verse 10, therefore I endure. The Word of God is not bound, therefore I. Won't you read that? Read that. The end of verse 9, but the Word. Read that. Now I want you to read the last part of verse 9. But the Word. Okay, right here, this part. Next. Okay, stop right there. So the Word of God is not bound, therefore I endure all things. The Word of God is not bound, therefore I endure all things. Because it's the Word of God where my trust is. See, Paul is saying here, the Word of God is not bound, therefore I suffer all things. I endure all things. Did you know you could endure all things? Because the Word of God is not bound. Did you know you could endure all things? Because the Word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The elect is those who have received Jesus Christ. They are the elect. Those who are born again. Those who are part of the family and the body of Christ. Amen. Chosen. It is the faithful saying. This is true. For if we be dead with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will deny us. Lord, Lord, didn't we not do many mighty works in Your name? Man, you guys were working hard, that's for sure, but I don't know who you are. I don't even know you. You haven't been with me.
Mm-hmm. And I am like, oh, I said, oh Lord, I don't want
So you hide when you're in sin? You hide your faith when you're in sin?
Yeah.
That's evil. Repent of that. Repent of that.
What I'm saying is,
now, I know what you're saying.
If I'm in sin, if I really love you or something, you know, I don't.
You don't. You tell. You tell people you're Muslim. I'm a Buddhist. I'm sinning. I'm hating my fellow man. That's pretty funny. That'd be good, except it's a lie. I'm a Christian and I'm forgiven. You see me sinning? You know what? God loves me. That would be more of a blessing for somebody. They don't need to see you perfect. They need to see you forgiven.
And what I don't like when I have a friend this way, and we kind of confine each other, and I notice she calls me the best friend. But if I am a little bit down, just like I was last time missing my mom, and my mom is dead, it's this time of year, you know, and was too, and she was really, she said, I got a phone call, she does not trust me. So I'm not supposed to believe because I'm Christian.
You got a flesh. You got a flesh, but you have to recognize it and divide between it.
Yeah. But I'm not. I should be smart. That's true.
You should not affiliate with them. You should affiliate with them for the purpose of encouraging them and to be in the Lord. But you should not, yes, have intimate relationships with those who are unbelievers, men or women. Not meaning physical. I'm not talking about that. Just even emotional, deep friendships, because they will draw you into, they'll draw you away from. You need somebody who will encourage you in the Lord. That's the bottom line.
Oh.
That's fine. Then don't have that one. Find, get the ones that are good. Get good Christians. Yeah. Don't get bad Christians. I know. That's true. Let's keep going here. So do I. I get paid for it. Yeah, but not here. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful. In other words, even if you don't believe, he's always faithful. He's always faithful to his word. So even if we drop out, flop off, you know, he's always faithful. He cannot deny himself. So he's always faithful. He can't deny himself. He knows who he is. If we deny him, it's just because, you know, the reason we would deny him is because we're trying to protect our flesh. Amen? Isn't that true? The only reason you would deny him is trying to protect your flesh from looking bad. Yeah. Why? Yeah, right. That's it. That's the only reason anybody denies him. Somebody's going to make fun of me. Somebody's going to call me an idiot. That's the reason. Why else would you deny him? The devil bothers you?
It wouldn't bother me to deny him because someone would make fun of me. I don't care.
Why would you deny him otherwise?
I accept it.
Give the example.
I'm Christian because I, like, okay, she's a Christian. Look at her. She lost her job. She doesn't.
So you're denying him? Yeah. So you're denying.
So it's like I'm not successful.
But how are you denying him then? By not believing him. By not believing him.
No, I believe him.
Okay, then how are you denying him?
Well, not telling him. That's the thing that we're not telling him that I'm Christian.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just
quiet. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yeah, don't. Yeah, don't. Don't deny him.
That's nothing to show.
Doesn't matter. You have your joy.
That's the time that I'm like that. Okay?
Thing is, you have to not look at your flesh. Your flesh is up, your flesh is down. Forget your flesh. No, true. Now, always. No, it doesn't matter. Because anytime your head says, oh, well, phew, I don't want to do that. That's wrong. It's evil. That's believing. That's walking in unbelief. Doesn't matter what you look like.
I don't believe
it. It doesn't matter. What I'm saying all about it is that don't agree that I'll make Jesus look bad if I look like a crummy Christian.
Yeah.
Don't believe that. That's a lie. That is a lie. That is the devil's trick. Just agree. That's the devil's trick. That's not helpful to Jesus. Right? That is not helpful to Jesus. I'm helping you, Jesus. I don't want to look bad for you. Look bad for Jesus. Be you. Because then you're forgiven. He's showing that a Christian is one who is forgiven, who knows that they're loved, even if they're crummy. That's what somebody needs to know. That's what somebody needs to see, is a Christian who knows that they're beloved, even if they're crummy, even if they don't even look like a good Christian, but you know you're the beloved of God. Some people will hate you for that. That's good, too. Some religious people will. They hated Jesus just for that reason, because he made bad people okay, because God loved them. But the religious people hated him. They hated somebody to make bad people look good. Jesus wants to make bad people look good only because of faith. See? So don't protect Jesus from your bad looking. Fine. But you are not a dishonor to him as long as you believe in him. But then you testify. You testify. The other is religious. So I'm going to pretend I'm not a Christian to myself, but I'm going to be nothing. I'm going to be nothing until I look good again. That's evil. But you understand what I'm saying. Whatever. It's evil to have that thought, because Jesus loves you in your sins. And see, somebody else needs to see that, whether they hate it or whether they are relieved. Oh, man, you mean Jesus loves you? Then he must love me. That's good for them. That's good for some person.
Even like 10 years ago when I was really living in sin, I had
Muslim
boyfriend.
Yeah. No. You should have spoken up loudly. I love Jesus. Well, you don't look like it. Well, that's fine. And you just need to talk about Jesus. Forget making him feel bad. See, he was working on building you and changing your character even at that time. So even if you are acting badly, never deny your faith. Never deny faith. Amen? No, just to others. Don't hide. Be bold.
I am bold.
Even if you're not looking good. Okay? Don't save Jesus. Don't save the guy. That's all about religion, isn't it? It's really all about religion. No, you don't. That's all about religion. That's why we always force it. That's why the church forces people to look good when they're not good. They force people to look good. And then the people think they're good. Or they're at least in religious bondage. That's all religion is looking good for Jesus. Or then denying that you know him because you don't look good. Doesn't that give you freedom? You can just live. You can just live. Then, but then you learn to love and overcome sin. So God's good too. God's good there. Because he's causing you to overcome sin, because sin doesn't have dominion over you, and you begin to believe that, and you begin to walk like that, is sin doesn't have dominion over you. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful, he cannot deny himself. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. 13. That's good. It's right in the middle. 26 verses. I'm stopping right now. Well, first there's order. Praise God. First I'll teach, then we'll fellowship. Let's pray. Father, we just love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord God, that you're bringing it to pass in us. Thank you that we're free. Thank you, Lord God, that you're just causing us to know that that we are to be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Be strong in your grace. Be strong. That is just to walk in it in the power of your might. To be strong in the grace is just to walk in the power of your might and of your provision. And we give you all the praise and the thank you for it. Thank you, Lord God, that you're causing us to be a demonstration of the faith of Jesus Christ. Crazy, absolutely out there, unbelievable love and forgiveness that comes from Jesus Christ that causes him to be glorified. He's glorified just by our profession of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay.